I wanted to, before I get into my sermon this morning, I wanted to take just a few moments. I'm sure we've all heard about the assassination attempt yesterday. And not just that, but the murder of an innocent individual in a crowd, the injury of two other individuals in the crowd, and you know what? The shooter, you know, lost his life because of all this. This whole scene, I mean, it was full of tragedy. It's full of heartache. That, you know, one minute you're enjoying yourself at a rally. I mean, it could have been anything. It didn't have to be a Trump rally. It could have been anything. One minute you're enjoying yourself, and the next minute your life is snuffed out, you know. And so, you know, and we as believers, we tend to not be involved in politics openly, you know. And so most arguments, when you think about it, most arguments usually center around four things: money, sex, politics, and religion. That's what most of your arguments center around when you talk to other individuals. But I believe that we should be a part of the process. We don't have to come in and wear whatever T-shirt or hat or whatever it may be into church. I don't think this is the place for that. But it's okay to have political leanings. When I vote for the person that leans more toward the way I think. I mean, I think that's just natural for a lot of people. Will I ever tell somebody how to vote? No. Will I ever preach who you should vote for from the pulpit? No. Number one, y'all are smart enough to figure it out for yourself. But it's not something that I'll preach here. But I believe that there's something that's very important for us as believers to remember, and it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read it here. It says, first of all, then, and some passages say, first of all, I exhort you. But this one here is saying, first of all, I urge you. This is the Amplified translation. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, meaning specific, heartfelt requests, prayers, and intercessions, prayers for others, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all people, for kings, and for all who are in position of a high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is a good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. Our prayers for the people who are in positions of leadership and people that they are over, our goal is that, yeah, it says so you live a peaceful life, but our ultimate goal is for those individuals to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that this nation comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm sure when this verse was written right here, that it was in the Bible back in 1776. And once again, I'm sure it was written when we had in 1865, the Lincoln assassination, 1963, the JFK assassination, 1981, Ronald Reagan and his attempted assassination, and 2024, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. These verses were in the Bible. So the church's obligation to pray for people in authority has not changed. It's still there. We need to be praying. And I'm not talking about, well, I'm a Republican, so I'm going to pray for Trump. I'm a Democrat. I'm praying for President Biden. No, I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. I don't care who's in office. I don't care who's leading the Senate, the House of Representatives, who has power in what area. Our obligation as believers is to pray for all of those in positions of authority. Why? So that we can live a peaceable life on this earth. Why? So that all men will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our job. As believers, that is our job. I'm not trying to cast a shadow over this Sunday morning service. But, you know, I'm just wanting to let you know that as believers, it's vitally important to remember our duty to pray for leaders. But here's the other thing. We focus on the praying for leaders in that passage there. But it also says that I urge you that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all people. We forget the all people part. As believers, it's our job to pray for people. It's our job to pray for this country. It's our job to pray for our neighbor. I say job, but you know what I'm talking about. It's what we are to do. And so as we are praying in our prayers, we should be looking to pray for people and for those who are in authority. Like I said, we pray for people on both sides of the aisle. God's not Republican or Democrat, just so you know. This church is not a Republican or a Democrat church, just so you know. This church is a believer church. This church is a God-focused church. This church is a church that's going to pray for those on both sides of the aisle and for all people. We're going to pray for our country. As believers, we should be praying for our country. We often say, God bless America. What's that mean? That means we get on our knees and we pray and do the things he tells us to do. Pray the way he tells us to pray. And when we do, God blesses that. And we live in America. So you are blessed. You will be blessed to pray in that fashion. So I just wanted to say a few words just to get us to kind of focus a little bit. It was a major thing. I'm sure it'll be on the news throughout the rest of the campaign. It'll be in every meme and soundbite and advertisement that you'll see. But you know what? We're going to take that and we're going to push that off to the side. And we're going to pray for these people that are currently running. There's more events, just so you know, going on. There's different conventions. There's other rallies going on. We need to keep them up in prayer. President Biden, President Trump, doesn't matter who it is. We need to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what? I was been kind of a busy weekend for Carrie and I. We went to my granddaughter, Charlie, which, by the way, all four of my grandkids will be here the first weekend in August. So I didn't hear a roar of applause or anything. You know, I just didn't hear that for some reason. Okay. But they will all be here. They range from 14 years old to 9 years old. But they will be here. We're excited to have them down there. We're excited to have them come here. And every time that we get the opportunity to be around them, we deposit teachable moments, God moments into their lives. And we hear it every time we see them by some of the things they say that we know God is speaking to them. And do they have opinions? Do they have thoughts? Do they have, sometimes if it comes to their mind, they just say it. So if my grandson, if it comes to his mind and he just says it, don't be offended. Sometimes the filter's not there. So, but I like that in him though. But we were up there and Charlie was in a play, Beauty and the Beast. 14-year-old girl was Belle and probably the best singer I've heard in my life. I mean, this just raw. It wasn't what do you call auto-tuned or anything like that. It was just raw. It was really good. Charlie was in it, and I mean, she did a great job too. So we had a fun time. Well, the very next day, we went over to the church that I grew up in, the Smarland Baptist Church, and I was asked to speak last Sunday. My old baseball coach turned 100 years old, and so I was asked to come speak along with, there was a judge and some state representative they were asked to speak to. So they took a back seat, of course. They actually had the judge speak first, and then I was last, and they said, Rick, you come in and you clean it all up. And I thought, okay, we'll clean it all up. But I got the opportunity to speak, and I got the opportunity to honor him. I spoke on honor. I mean, I brought back some of the old memories that we had with regards to baseball, him being my coach. And he told me that day, he said, yeah, my son, his son was the catcher, and I was the pitcher a lot of times on the team. And he said, yeah, my son would come home at the end of every game and say, man, Rick, he just throws too hard. So evidently I must have hurt his hand whenever he was catching back there. But and I told some stories, and some of my old friends that played on the team, they're out there shaking their head, and they're smiling. They remember those stories. And so you remember all those things, all those events from your childhood. But you know what? Those events from my childhood, they were formed by the 100-year-old guy that was sitting there. He was patient. He was kind. He wasn't a screaming coach. But he was the type of coach that when he asked you to do something, you just did it. You know, and to me, that was one of the things I said. One of the best ways that you can honor somebody is by doing what they tell you to do. just do it. I still do that with my mom. I mean, I'm still young. I hit 60 last year, but I'm still young. I mean, I'm still going. But even at that age, if my mom asks me to do something, I don't say, wait a minute. I don't say, do I have to do it now? I just get up and do it. Why? Because I honor her. You know what? But it's a choice that we make to honor. And that's one of the things that I was wanting to talk about here today. The title of my sermon is Choices Come Daily. We make choices daily. In this situation with my coach, I chose, every time I was in practice or on the ball field, I chose to honor him by doing what he said to do. And because I did what he said to do, I was successful in my baseball career as a youth. And I've often said if I would have, well, we got one educator in here, but if I would have liked school, I mean, I went to junior college, but I would have played college ball. You know, it was just that fun to me. I mean, Rick won most valuable player awards in tournaments and named all team this and that. So I liked baseball. That was my sport. But in order to get where I was, I had to listen to the person who was trying to speak into my life. I chose to listen to them, and because I chose to listen to them, I was successful. Gosh, what does that mean for a Christian? If we choose to listen to what the Word of God says, because a lot of people will say, well, I've never heard God speak to me. If you've got one of these, he's speaking to you. This is his word. This is his will. This is God speaking to me every day. Every time I pick this up, it's always him speaking to me. So if I want to know what the will of God is, I crack the book. Sometimes I take the book and I go, in some situations, might not have been open in a while. Maybe you need to grease those hinges just a little bit. I've often talked about, I don't know if anybody ever had this, but when we were kids, we had the old coffee table in the living room, and we had that Bible that was on the coffee table. It's about that high, about that wide, and about that thick. You know, that was one of them that never got open, except for, in our case, you would put homecoming flowers in there. You'd put prom flowers in there, and that's how you pressed them. You let them dry. That's the only thing that Bible was ever used for. But if we want to know what the will of God is for our lives, we open the book because his word is his will. So I spent the Saturday up there with my coach, honoring him that way. And we choose to receive from someone, or we can choose to reject what someone has to say. And if we turn to Matthew chapter 6, so we can choose to honor or we can choose to dishonor. Somebody, if we choose to dishonor somebody, that means that we just ignore what they say. We don't do it. We don't respect them. We don't receive from them. But in Mark chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Jesus left the part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They're like, wow, this is incredible. They asked, where did he get all of this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? They couldn't deny that the wisdom was there. They couldn't deny that the power was there. They couldn't deny that there were miracles that were happening. They were amazed. And it says, then they scoffed. So in that moment when they were amazed, they couldn't deny the power, they couldn't deny the miracles, they couldn't deny the wisdom, they had a choice to make. Choices come daily. But they had a choice to make here. It says, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. Oh gosh. Never say you're just anything. I'm just a cook at the high school. I'm just a prison guard at Pontiac Correctional Center. I just work at Walmart. You're never just anything. I've told the story before. We ran into a guy out here at Walmart who does, you've seen the little kiosk thing, somebody trying to sell you a phone plan or something like that. And he didn't work for Walmart, but we were looking for something, and he knew where it was. He said, oh, well, let me show you where that's at. I said, oh, okay, thanks. He said, well, I'm just the phone guy. I said, no, you're not just the phone guy. You are the phone guy. We have to change the way we think about things. We have to change the way that we look at ourselves. We have to choose to say, no, I am the phone guy. No, I was a correctional officer for 26 years at Pontiac Correctional Center, and I was one of the best ones there. People seek me out. People still seek me out. When I was at that 100th birthday party yesterday, friends of mine that I grew up with, they approached me. What is it about me? Nothing in the natural, but Jesus in me. I believe that I make sure I say the right word. I emit God. I'm not God, but I believe people see God in me, see Jesus in me, and they should see him in you also. And how can they do that? Because we make choices daily to follow him and do what he says to do. Goes on here to say, then they scoffed, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Can you hear them saying that? I can't believe he's, you know. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended. They dishonored him. They didn't respect. They chose at that point. They chose to ignore the wisdom. They chose to ignore the power. They chose to ignore the miracles. They chose to ignore all these amazing things because he was somebody that they knew. He was. I know his family. They were just carpenters. They chose that. And by making that choice, what happened? Well, let's read on. Because of their unbelief, because they chose not to believe, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their choice. Of course, it says unbelief. But he was amazed at the choice they made. You see, they were amazed initially. Now he's amazed because their amazement went away. And they chose because he was somebody they knew to dishonor him, to walk away from it. Well, what did Jesus do? How do you cure unbelief? It says right here. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching people. That's how you cure unbelief. That's how you attack unbelief. That's how you attack dishonor. That's how you help people to make right choices is you teach them. You show them. Once again, like I said, this sermon title is Choices Come Daily. And I believe that when we're talking about choices, a lot of time we've in the church world, we get so caught up in so many different things that the Bible has. And they're true. They're promises that we have. They're, you know, healing and prosperity and joy and peace and all these other things. We get so caught up in that we forget a lot of foundational things. And one of the foundational things that we're going to look at is we're going to look at Mark 11. Now, all of you think that I'm going to Mark 11, 23 and 11, 24. I am, but that's not where I'm starting at. Because I think there's one verse here that we tend to look over, and really, it's the latter part of the verse, and it's only four words. And it's a choice that we make. Choices come daily. Here's a choice that we make. It says in Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Foundational. That's our foundation. It's not anything else. Have faith in God. But you know what? Having faith in God is a choice. Choices come daily. But it says, have faith in God. Now, in the Amplified Version, it says constantly. Have faith and constantly, over a period of time, always, without interruption, have faith in God. Always have faith in God. It says, the just shall live by faith. Miss Dorothy told Carrie one day, and actually, I think she was talking to me on the phone. Carrie might have been in the room. She says, I wake up every day to exercise my faith for something. We should be exercising our faith every day for something. I think sometimes we do, and we don't realize it. Some people have used the example that when you sit down in a chair, that's faith exercised. Believing that chair will hold you up. that it won't collapse. Now, has anybody ever been in a chair that has collapsed? We had one recently that I still have it, but when we lived in Oklahoma, we always had these two, those rocking chairs, one with the pistons in it that you can rock in. Boy, those are nice. We always left it outside. Well, what happens when you leave cloth outside? It's exposed to the weather. What happens when it's exposed to the weather over time? You have a seat in it, and all of a sudden you feel something starting to give away, and you start falling through the hole of the seat, you know? And that's what happened to our chairs. They started ripping out. But in that case, your faith's not going to help you. You're going to end up on the ground. But we should exercise our faith every day for something. But it says here again, so Jesus answered them, said unto them, have faith in God, for assuredly, really, I say to you, is anybody in here a whoever? Who's whoever's? Okay, we got about six whoever's in here. Okay. By the time we're done, y'all be whoever's. But whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. We choose to be full of God and have victory. We choose to be full of God and have success. Now, success, is that financial necessarily? Yeah. Is it all financial? No. I think some preachers get scared about talking about prosperity because they think that the people in the group or the pastor's just trying to get into their pockets. Carrie and I are blessed no matter what. Awful arrogant to say that. No, I'm just believing what the Bible says. I'm choosing to believe what the Bible says. Now, in this passage here, in these verses that we read, there are six choices in these two verses that we need to make daily. The first choice that we make is in verse 22. It says, have faith in God. The second one is whoever says. So we've got a choice as to whether we speak the word of God over our lives or we don't speak the word of God over our lives. The third one is, does not doubt in thought or word. I'll hold off on that. The fourth one, but believes in his heart, it's settled in my spirit. It's there. The word of God says this, it's settled. So I'm choosing to believe what this word of God says. I'm telling you what, if God's telling me something and I'm believing, I'm going to stand right here and I don't care if weeds grow up all around me. I don't care if everybody leaves town and I'm the only one left. If God told me, that's it. I believe. I'm not doubting. I'm not moving. Then it goes on here. Number five was, believes the things he says. What I'm going to say is what the Word of God says. And if I say what the Word of God says, I have a confident expectation. I have an assurance that the Word of God is true, and I don't have to. It's a done deal. The Word of God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And number six, it says, he'll have whatever he says. We choose to believe any one of those six things. Now, you'll notice in that verse there, though, that in verse 23, three times it says, talks about saying, and one time it talks about believing. I was going to just walk around up here all morning like this. We need to start speaking the word of God over our situations. We're already believers. Any believers in the room? I mean, there's a couple here. We're believers. Now we need to start saying what we believe. Sometimes we wonder why our lives aren't going exactly the way we think they should, or we're not prospering like we think we should in every area, relationships, money, joy, peace, whatever it may be. Stop and think about what you're saying. Okay, Carrie, get the car running. I'll be out there in a minute. But he emphasizes the saying part a lot in that verse there. But we're believers. Now, I mentioned this example before, but once again, you might get tired of it, but I'm talking out of my life experience, you know, and there'll be more to come. But I worked at the prison for 26 years and got out of there 4 years early because I worked the last 10 years I was there. I worked 12 hours a day, every day for 12 years. And so it built up enough overtime. So I retired and they paid me a 30-year pension. Yay me. But anyway, but I worked at the prison. At one time, they were going to close our prison. The governor and our representative got into a squabbling match, and all of a sudden, it wasn't Stateville anymore, it was Pontiac. So they were going to close our prison. And so they were telling us that we had to choose other prisons that we were going to transfer to. And so I went in there and I chose one. It was up in Dwight. No offense, ladies, but I don't ever want to work in a women's prison. But anyway, moving on. Or kids. But so I had chosen where I was going to go. But I was at the lunch table one time. Me and three or four other guys were sitting there. And I made the comment. I said, as long as I work here, this prison will never close. And I had one of them say, man, you're living in a dream world. I said, okay. And so I took the stance, like I said earlier, I'm going to stand here. God spoke to me and said, this prison will not close as long as I work here, as long as I'm there. And my idea was, I don't care if weeds were growing this high around me. Every inmate was out of the prison, and there was just two of us left. This place still isn't going to close because I work here. Well, through a series of events, U.S. Marshals, Governor Blagojevich, put your hands behind your back, and he went to prison. Next day, Pontiac wasn't closing down anymore. I went to lunch with those same group of four guys, and I looked at them and I said, you know that whole idea about the prison not closing down, and as long as I work here? I said, welcome to my world. You know, and so, and the prison is still open, and I believe it will remain open. But it was one of those things where I chose to believe the word of God to me, that he spoke to me. And I think that a lot of times that we will read our Bibles. We may read a chapter a day, a couple of chapters a day. But as we're reading those chapters, those one or two chapters a day, are we taking the words, breaking it down and saying, that was written for me. Those are words that are directed toward me. So I choose to take those words and apply them to my life. I choose daily to have the Word of God govern my life. Rick, it's not that easy. I know. I've been there. Do I walk it out perfectly? No. But I know what the Word says, and I endeavor to do what the Word of God says. I endeavor to walk by faith every day. I endeavor in any situation I find myself in to make a choice that's based on what the will of God would be for that situation. I endeavor to be that person. Why? Because I love him, I honor him, and I want to do what he says. Just the way it is. In John chapter 15, starting with verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. If you abide in me, if I choose to abide in him, if I choose to have his word settled in my heart, in my spirit, if I choose, because I can choose not to, I can choose not to abide in him. I can choose not to let his words be settled in my spirit. I can choose that. Will I be prosperous? Will I be fruitful? Like it talks about it here at the end of this verse here. Will I bear much fruit? No. Just the way it is. But his words will be settled in me. If I abide in you, if I'm settled in you, if your words are settled in me, it says, you will ask whatever you desire. So if I abide in him, his words are settled in me, then the things that I ask are going to be in line with his word. And he honors his word. So I choose to align myself with the word of God. I choose to allow the word to be settled within me daily. And when I do that, then the word of God is fruitful, and the things that I desire are things that he would desire. His desires become my desires. Man, how many know that he doesn't fail? How many know that he's victorious all the time? How many know that we as believers, we operate from a position of victory? We're not fighting for victory. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If he's in me, then I'm a winner already. I just need to recognize it. Whew. Is that car running still? We may have heard some of these words before. We've heard these passages before. But what's our expectation when we hear them? To me, I mean, I've heard people, well, one of the instructors out at Rhema, Brother Hagin used to teach out of Mark 11, 23, and 24 all the time. I don't know how many, this instructor was telling me, he went to conference after conference after conference. He traveled with Brother Hagin. And it was always the same thing. And finally he got to the point, he's like, when is he going to preach something else? I've heard that and heard that and heard that. Well, I kind of look at it like this. Anybody got a favorite meal? I do. I had brisket every day this last week. And loved it every day this last week. I had corn on the cob with it also. And I still lost 4 pounds. But I had brisket every day. And so that's something that, and every time I have it, I'll have it today. And I had an expectation of having it again tomorrow. It was just as good the next day. Matter of fact, there might have been a little bit of extra fat in it. I'll tell you what, fat's the best part of the meat, just so you know, especially if it's marinated. But I had an expectation every day that it was going to be good again. So much more the Word of God. We may have heard a verse over and over, but I'll tell you what, the Bible is progressive. If you've heard it one day today, if you heard it today and God speaks something to you today, and then you hear it again tomorrow, and it's like, wow, I never saw that before. But I just read it yesterday. I know. But God is into revelation. He's into progressive revelation. I could read this. I could read Mark 11, 23, and 24 every day for a month. And I believe he'll show me something every day for a month that I may not have seen before. So whenever you're reading the Bible, think about your favorite meal. We went to Oklahoma one time to a conference, and I told Carrie, I said, let's make every meal have something to do with barbecue. Ribs, brisket, pulled pork, whatever it may be. And I think we did it to a degree, and she's not keen on barbecue much anymore. little bits of it. But anyway, so it's like a favorite meal. When you're reading the word, man, anticipate. Look forward to it every day. You know, when I look at the Bible, I think, you know, what's his will for healing? Well, if we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. But I've been struggling with this for years. I had past tense. Of course, I'm even saying that wrong because I took possession of it even just now. But I had the symptoms of Meniere's disease. There's no cure for it. Constant extreme vertigo. Each time it would come, it would be for 6 hours. And I could feel it coming on. All of a sudden, I'd be standing there and it felt like my head's tilting and I'm falling this direction. And for 6 hours, that would last. If there's an opening, something was coming out of it. It was just bad, and you couldn't get rid of it. And one thing that I did figure out, though, in the beginning of that, if I take motion sickness pills, it helped. But anyway, But I'm standing at the bathroom sink one time, and I said, Lord, you said, and I could take this verse right here, said that you healed every kind of disease and every kind of illness. I'm taking a hold of that word, and this Meniere's disease, the symptoms that I had, I'm grabbing onto that word, and I'm not letting go, and I don't care if weeds grow up all around me. I'm choosing to believe your word. I'm not going to speak anything contrary to that. I'm not going to speak anything negative in that situation. I'm just going to believe what your word says. And as I'm standing there, sure as anything, I felt something here, and I felt something here, and that's been 10, 12 years ago, and I've never had another symptom. I'm going to believe God. Now, should we go to doctors? Man, you're... I almost said you're dumb if you don't. Edit that. I believe in doctors. But I heard of this one situation where this lady got really sick, and she ended up dying. She didn't even know what she had. If nothing else, go to the doctor and let them diagnose you, and now you got someplace to believe, something to stand on. But you know what? If your faith, you cannot have faith. How did that go, Carrie? You said it to me the other day. You can't exercise your faith in an area if your faith isn't there. So if your faith isn't there, if you've got whatever it may be, pick a disease. If your faith isn't there for that to be gone, even though you know by his stripes you were healed, go to the doctor. Take the pill. Get the surgery. Craig Hagin had a brain tumor. If he moved his head one way or another, the doctor was telling him he could die. Some of you may or may not know who Brother Hagin is, but he's known as the modern day father of faith. He hated that title. Wouldn't be in his presence. I'm sure you couldn't call him that. This was his grandson. They chose to have surgery. And Craig is still alive today, 50-some years old. I think he was 13 at the time, 50-some years old, still alive today. Go see a doctor. Well, we can choose the will of God with regards to our finances. Just so you know, I'm not getting to this today. You'll have to come back next week, sit and wonder all week why this rope is laying all over the place. They'll have to vacuum around it this week because I'm not picking it up. It's a reminder to me all week long. Focus on the black part. I won't tell you what it's about, but just think about the black part of the rope and come back next week and figure out what that's about. But we can choose the way we think about our finances also. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. Oh, first fruits. Carrie and I, man, as long as we've been married, I think even before we were married, she was doing it. She was the one who would write a tithe check. If it was $1.67.24, or $167.24, she would write out 10% of that to the penny. That's how she did it. But anyway. But when we got married, we had a budget. We still operate with a budget today, just so you know. It's good to have a budget. Had a column here and a column here. I got paid every 2 weeks. The very first thing on the column was our tithes and offerings. Before we paid the light bill, before we paid the rent, the car payment, whatever it may be, that was the first thing on our list. And if we got down toward the bottom and it looked like we were going to be short on the Silco bill or the Ameren bill, I would just say, okay, Lord, all the silver and gold are yours, and you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I say, you need to butcher a cow, because we need to pay this light bill here. And so that's just the way we operated. We operate that way today. So we honor him with the first of everything. And it's not just our money. It's our time. It's our talent. It's whatever it may be. We want to honor him with the first of everything. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I want you all to be rich in every area of your life. How do we do that? We choose to honor God with the first fruits of our lives. I'm going to land this plane in about 2 minutes here. When we're talking about our healing, when we're talking about our finances, when we're talking about relationships, and we choose to honor those, we choose to speak the word of God over those, we don't want to ever say anything negative. I will not speak negative over my finances ever. I'm not going to do it. I'm not speaking death to my finances. I'm not speaking death to relationships that I have. I'm not speaking death to my physical body. I'm not speaking it. I'm going to speak what the Word of God has. I choose daily to speak what the Word of God says about my life. So we got to choose to abide in His will. His Word is His will. And His Word is where the blessing is. If we choose to let our senses, what we see, feel, and touch, and our reasoning guide us, we'll enter into unbelief. Sometimes the things that are the most tangible, the things that we can see, feel, and touch, they seem to be the most real in our lives. We've got to get to the point where the Word of God is what's more real in our lives. And how do we do that? By renewing our mind to the Word of God. We spend time in the Word of God. We spend time in prayer. We spend time with Him. It's the only way it's going to happen. And so I just want to encourage everyone here today that when we get up and we're walking about our daily lives, or even before we put our feet on the floor in the morning, we say, Lord, I'm at your disposal today. I choose to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I choose to speak to whoever it is you want me to speak to. I choose to forgive everyone you want me to forgive. And if we do, we live a blessed life. Amen? You know, before we close the service, I never close a service without first asking, is there anybody in this place that has never received Jesus as their Savior? Some of this stuff won't make sense. Matter of fact, to your natural mind, it doesn't make sense to believe the Word of God over the circumstance. It doesn't make sense. But when you have Jesus as your Savior, that makes the world a difference. And there may be somebody here who's not been living the way that they should be living. Backslidden. Speaking the wrong things over their lives and over the lives of others. And you just want to get right with God. You just want to wipe the slate clean and move on. He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, wipe it clean of all unrighteousness. I want to give you the opportunity to come down here today. I want to pray with you. I want you to walk out of here knowing that your life is transformed from this moment. You don't have to leave here the same way that you came in. You can be changed. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. If there's anybody here that would answer either one of those calls, I'm going to ask that you come down here. Or if you need prayer for anything, whether you need prayer for healing, baptism in the Spirit, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask that you come down here and we'll pray. And I believe that God will answer. If there's anybody online, same call. There's no distance between us and where you're at. If there's anybody that's watching us online, if you need prayer for anything, if you want prayer for salvation or rededication, healing for your body, I'm going to ask that you reach your hand out to the screen right now, and we're going to pray. As a group here, we're going to pray and believe that God will meet you where you're at. Just repeat after me. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And I believe that He rose from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And your word says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I believe that there, if those are in this room, if they prayed that and they meant what they prayed, those of you who are watching, if you prayed that and you meant what you prayed, I believe you're born again. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to us. Let us know that you've made that commitment. And we'll rejoice with you. Right now, if you made that commitment, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Father, I just thank you for this time that we had here this morning. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that it is alive, it's active, it's sharp. It penetrates the things that it needs to penetrate. And I thank you that your word is so strong that it transforms and changes lives as we receive it. Father, this morning, we choose to believe your word. We choose to follow you. So, Father, as we leave this place, we know that we don't leave you here, but that you go with us. Your Holy Spirit goes with us, leading us and guiding us and speaking to us and showing us things to come. And as the opportunities present themselves, Father, we'll walk through. We choose to walk through those doors and do what you've commanded, doing what you've told us to do. So we give you praise. We give you glory for all that's going to be done in our lives this week and the weeks to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you all. You are dismissed.